Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
All right, great friend of the show, tremendous analyst for the Portland Timbers, former professional soccer player, is Ross Smith, and we'll also tag that with newly a father. Here he is. Ross Smith joins us now. Hey, Ross, how are you?
Thanks for the intro. I'm doing great, Glenn. Great to see you. Great to see you. Always fun to come on with you.
All right, so you've been on quite a whirlwind. You were in Spain with your wife. You had your baby with you to introduce your baby to that side of the family. You flew all the way back to Portland for the MLS Cup final. And one thing that jumped out to me, you told me that the atmosphere, and you're a guy who's been in that stadium more than most. Yeah. You said it was off the charts. Just speak to that first before we get into the game.
Yeah, I think my voice can speak to it enough right now, how thin and raspy it is. It's hanging on, Glenn. And I think that speaks to the atmosphere, how magical it was. And when you're talking about that travel, and I was a little torn as well with the young family and making that big trip across to Portland. But my wife, Christina, you know well, and she said how great it'll be for that moment. And that moment, walking into the stadium, Glenn. Now, as broadcasters, we're obviously there a couple hours before, but you get a sense of the buildup. I could not believe we were in about an hour before the stadium. I could not believe the buzz. And for games that I've been to my entire life, that was maybe the biggest buzz that I've ever sensed. The excitement from people, and the togetherness. And that's what Portland has, is that a lot of people, you go to the game, you run into everybody in the community. There's good relationships there. The fans feel like they're close with the players. There was just such a connection is what it came down to. And in that moment, walking in, I thought it was well worth it. It was well worth the tired eyes, the struggling body. It was something special.
All right. When Felipe Mora scores on the last kick of the game, who did you jump on?
I had people jumping on me. It was survival mode. Am I going to be okay? I was drenched in beer and in whatever was being thrown all over the place, but it was okay. And a couple of close friends around me. I had, in front of me, Joe Dickerson, the referee, and a couple other referees. They were taking it in as fans. So even with Joe, we're hugging more just at, it gave us another 30 minutes as well. And of course, with my affiliation with the Timbers, I was excited, knowing how much that would mean to the players, the fans. Glenn, I don't think I've hugged as many random people in my life in that moment as well. It was something else. And you thought from there, the Timbers were just going to go on.
Yeah, you kind of did. New York City FC ultimately winning 4-2 on penalty kicks. Castellanos, the leading scorer in the league, scored the opening goal for New York City FC. Of course, Felipe Mora with that last kick of the game. All right, let's get into the game first. For the market, how painful is this loss now? Because, look, after all the elation of tying the game, at the end of the day, New York City FC won the MLS Cup.
It's funny. Exactly, Glenn. I thought going in, all the conversations that I was around was the Timbers, how big this is going to be for the city when they win. And all of a sudden it was, as the game got going, it was, hold on a second here. Like, what if? And it's so interesting when you, because New York City, I've only watched them on TV over the last couple of years. I haven't seen them in person, just with the difference in the conferences and very little crossover. They were big boys. And stepping on the pitch, I thought, wow, these are, they're head and shoulders in height, and the physical side of it to the Timbers. I thought this could be a real possibility. And obviously with their goal, and they were solid in their setup, in their commitment, their desire, of course, it was there for both teams, but they just had a good game plan. So to that, I think Merritt Paulson has done a great job. We, as a company, received an email from him just to say big picture. And he's always been really good at looking at the big picture. I think deep down, though, Glenn, I couldn't help but think the party would still be going. I don't think I'd be back in Canada right now chatting with you. I'd still be in Portland partying as well with all my colleagues. I think 2015 was huge. I think it would have gone up another 2-3 levels to what was. So you can't help but think, sure, big disappointment. But everybody is taking the big picture right now.
Talking to Ross Smith, color analyst for the Portland Timbers, also a former professional soccer player. All right, it's easy to make comments about tactics and performances and everything post the MLS Cup final, but the one that's out there a lot from everybody is Sebastian Blanco. Yeah. And was it right to start him, you think? Not that we're questioning a coach, because he obviously thought it was right, Giovanni Savarese. Was it right to start him, you think, under these conditions? And then the second part of this question would be, was he more injured than we know?
Yeah, good. The two great questions, and those are the leading questions that I've heard since as well. I think it's tough, Glenn. You remember about a month ago, and if we dipped into the Premier League real quick with Ronaldo and Solskjaer didn't start Ronaldo, and Alex Ferguson was caught with one of the MMA fighters after the game. There was a camera on him, and Alex Ferguson said, "You always start your best players," is what Alex Ferguson said. And you know, that was almost a little dig at Solskjaer. Anyways, that came into mind as well. And with Blanco, Blanco's mentality, you know him, you call games with Blanco. He's fierce. He would want to be starting. He wanted to be on that pitch. I think he was moving well. And you look at the fine movements, his twisting, turning. He looked good. I'm close with the team doctors. And they said, look, he might not be perfect, but Blanco's ready to go. So I think that's tough as a manager. Look, if Blanco comes on, the atmosphere was such that the fans, you wanted to get everybody, you wanted to entertain them right away. And Blanco being on the pitch, it does that. Rather than Blanco not starting, maybe New York City FC scored 2-3 goals, and then it's too late to bring him off the bench. I do think it was the right decision. It didn't work out in their way. If Blanco goes and scores in the first 10 minutes, then it looks that way. But back to that, Blanco wasn't at his best. He didn't influence the game. He, for me, is the best player on that pitch on his day, and it just wasn't there for him. So disappointing. I think you could look at a lot of different way things as well tactically. I just think credit to New York City FC. They just smothered the Timbers' big-time players.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I felt that New York City FC over the 90 minutes, you would give them control of the game.
Yeah.
A little bit more than Portland. I think the first overtime session, Portland came out and may have played their best football of the day nearly scored, if not for Sean Johnson. But, you know, I looked at Blanco and I was watching this game in the Virgin Islands with my brother. And I said, you know, there's always the question of, do you start somebody or don't you, the emotional factor of it. And on the other hand, you know, I'm thinking maybe, you know, you bring him on in the second half when things are in a different place, and it's, you know, it's the late card you can play, which we've seen him produce in those moments as well. So anyway,
I did think, yeah. And to that, when Valeri came on, Glenn, there was a huge uptick in being in the fans and around it. When they saw Valeri starting to get ready, that made a difference. And Valeri just even stepping on the pitch made a difference. So I think you can always argue that as well. You would have had the same bounce with Blanco coming on.
New York City FC would ultimately win it 4-2 in penalties. I thought they had the advantage going to penalty kicks with Sean Johnson. Yeah. I know Steve Clark in the past. Before we get to the penalties, though, let me go back to the Castellanos goal. Was this savable for you?
It was. It's savable. I think it's savable anyways, but certainly at the level that we've seen Clark. And that, for me, is well within Clark's wheelhouse. He's great at his reactions. He's quick. I know it's in an awkward position right between his legs and underneath his arms, and you're having to get down quick. But it really is for Steve Clark. I think he'll be disappointed. I've seen a lot of people write about that. He should have done better. And I've seen him in his time at Portland from Columbus Crew when he was there. I've seen him in his career make that save.
Talking to Ross Smith, color analyst for the Portland Timbers. Appreciate him, as always, coming on the show. I mean, in a very simplistic way, if you bring the penalties into this, you could say, hey, this game was won in the goalkeeping position by Sean Johnson, who ultimately was named the MVP of the game. Fair assessment?
I thought, and it is. I thought Sean Johnson, the size of him, I think, really played into it. It reminded me of with Nashville against Philadelphia Union in the penalties. And there was a great, I'm sure you watched it, of course, Glenn, but there was a great camera shot in behind when Mukhtar was about to take his penalty. And you saw Blake, and he was dancing along the goal line and his wingspan. And I thought, that's got to play into it. You played, Glenn. That's got to play into the player's mind a little bit. And when Mukhtar has his penalty saved, everybody else watching would have seen that as well. And I thought, that's going to be interesting. And it wasn't a surprise that two of Nashville's misses didn't even make the frame because the players I thought are trying to be so perfect with their penalties. I put that in the same category as Sean Johnson. He looked like there's very little room to hit the size of him. And Valeri's penalty, I think I haven't seen it back yet, Glenn, but watching it at the time, I thought that was a good penalty. It was low, it was hard, but yeah. Sean Johnson, he just picked the right way. He committed to it, and it was a strong hand by him. I thought it was a really good save rather than a bad miss by Valeri.
Yeah, I was happy for Sean Johnson. He's had a long career. It's his first MLS Cup he's played in. He becomes the star of it. Has always been a really no-nonsense kind of guy to me, which is impressive. His interviews after the game were impressive as well. We're talking to Ross Smith, Portland Timbers color analyst here. Appreciate him coming on the program. Did the overall technical ability of New York City FC play a big part in this one? Based on the wet conditions, it was a little helter-skelter in the beginning. Yeah. It settled down, and they really seemed to adapt to an artificial surface, the wet conditions, despite the fact that they don't play on that. I thought pretty well.
There was a calm about them, and it was interesting. I don't know if we'll get into it, but with Ronnie Dyla, his celebration afterwards, because I don't know Coach Dyla. I don't have conversations with him. I'm surprised at his post-game stripping down to his underwear and push-ups, because I thought this is just a very stoic, no-nonsense, gives very little away type manager. I guess when you win a West Cup, you've been going
through that. Yeah, but you know as well as I do. With all the saunas in Norway, people are taking their clothes off all the time. So to me, it's not a surprise with Ronnie Dyla.
I learned a little bit with Aiden Brown. I'm close friends with Aiden Brown, and he obviously played in Norway, and he told me about the culture. And there was a few incidences.
Show me a sauna, and there's clothes flying off everywhere. Trust me.
But I just thought, you know, with Dyla, his team really mimic his character, and I think it helps the fact that the backbone of the team have been together for a while. The center back partnership had been together since 2017. So you have guys who know what it's all about at the club. You have experienced heads, and the way they controlled it. And then technically, like you're saying, thought they adapted well. When I woke up in the morning, I thought, I can't imagine a worse day for conditions for a game of soccer. And I think what's helped is the new stands in Portland. I think it shielded it somewhat to the wind. But it was blustery. It was all over the place. So I think technically New York City FC adapted real well, and get back to it physically. They were strong. They were big in the center of the park with Morales and Sands. You know, they towered over some of the players on there, and the Timbers just couldn't get out in transition as well. Timbers, I think that's when they're at their best. They just couldn't get going. New York City FC really committed to getting numbers behind the ball at the right times.
Boy, they did. They neutered Portland. And really, the only times I saw that break looking a little bit better was through Jimmy Chara. A couple of times where it was just like, you know, he got a little bit of space and it looked a little different. Callens and Cheneau, I thought, were excellent. Those two guys were very solid behind the two holding midfield, you know, the two midfielders in front of them. That's a solid block of four there for New York City FC. So I would agree with you there. All right. Take your Portland hat off. For a second here, not that you're a homer by any means. That's why you're on the show, but you are a little bit because you always want Portland to win. But you know, let's look at this. You know, I said it once it was over. I'm saying to myself, you know what? This is good for MLS. This is good for New York City FC. They can't find a field. We got to have New York as a big market in this league. They're not as relevant as they should be. The Red Bulls aren't relevant up in that area that I grew up in. So from that standpoint, I thought it was positive.
It was, and I'm interested just to see with the celebrations, the fans welcoming their team back and what that looks like. You know, hopefully they get that response from them and it feels like a big market. Cause I think that sometimes being in New York and when they have a game, when the Timbers have played them, you wonder, okay, how many people actually know there's a soccer game going on? So relevance, I hope it makes the headlines out in New York. And to that point, as much as with the Timbers and again, the partying, the magnitude of it would have been huge, Glenn. It would have been massive. But I think now with New York winning it in a big market, I don't know. It's another storyline. It's something unexpected. And I think for how good the Timbers were through the playoffs, they were head and shoulders above every team in the Western Conference. So I just think I can see it now as well. Just the storylines as they're written into next year for New York winning it, that does a lot for the league rather than just, as much of a dent as it is in Portland.
Ross, reflect on this too, because it was a very, very up and down season for Portland. There was some tension in and around the team. The organization had real problems on the NWSL side with Paul Riley. It was really an up and down year. You know, maybe address that a little bit, because, you know, there is this thing called life in the second season.
Yeah, difficult, really difficult. And to that, with merit, with the ownership, and from everything, from with Paul Riley, with the NWSL, obviously that's a big hit, and a real difficult one. At the time, my home base is in Nashville, but I was on a lot of phone calls with our organization, and just to learn and to gather, you know, as much information and chat to people. It's a tough time, Glenn, and that's coming off the back of a tough time with the pandemic that, of course, we're still in. So tough time around the club. And I think during that time, you've needed leadership. You've needed to come together. And for me, I've spent all of October out with the club, and a lot of the people who work for Portland have been with the club for a long time. So a lot of close relationships. And I know a lot of people were reeling. So you felt as though for them to go and win the championship after, and I talk about like the front office staff, like Giovanni Savarese, what a terrific guy he is. The people I've been around for a while, you just thought they needed this. And even though they didn't win it, they needed a final. They needed that feeling around, because they've been reeling from everything and being part of a club that they do love so much and trying to heal.
Talking to Ross Smith, color analyst for the Portland Timbers, and it's very hard not to pull for Giovanni Savarese, by the way, no matter who you are, even if you're a neutral. Mm-hmm. Ross, I neglected to ask you a question after something you said about the transition game, and it's such a part of the way Portland plays, and they can break out in the blink of an eye and a flash of the eye. Outside of what New York City FC did in helping to take the edge off of that, was there anything in the setup of the Timbers that you would be critical of in not being able to get that part of their game going the way they would have liked?
Yeah, I think, and again, having gone back to watch it in the game, in the moment, I just thought with Dairon Asprilla, who's been terrific this season, he couldn't really get out and get going. He couldn't find his pockets. I thought coming through the middle of the pitch, Diego Chara, I thought was really, really good, but once they smothered him, and George Vashive is a really solid player, he didn't have anybody to go and get on the ball and demand it. Blanco, I'd love to see the numbers, how many touches he had. I just didn't feel there was anybody going to get on the ball and to be able to dictate the rhythm of the game when it needed somebody to grab the game by the scruff of the net and get involved. So that transition, I think you first look individually, and I just thought there was a few off nights for players like an Asprilla not being at his best. Jimmy Chara, even though he had some nice touches, he just couldn't get out and get going. So individually, there's that. You know, for the Timbers, then once you put that individual level and you get them playing well, then I think tactically you start to see them interchange and their flow around Mora, getting Mora's hold up play, which wasn't there as good as it's been during the year. So I think more individually, the performances from it all. Tactically, I'd love to sit down again, if I'm honest, Glenn, just to be able to watch it and look at all the tendencies. Because, you know, it's one thing being at the game and watching it, and when you go back again, then it starts to unfold and you see two or three different things that maybe you didn't quite pick up during the game. So I think to that, we need more to be able to break it down. But individually, it couldn't help but feel that too many players, they couldn't get out of third gear.
Spoken like a true color analyst, because you're 100% correct there. It's lots of things we all see once it's over.
I'd be interested in you. You're so great with your questions, man. I'd be interested in you, because we always love, we spend so long before we get on interviews chatting about things. I love your view on the game. You were watching it on TV. What would have been your thoughts with it tactically?
Yeah, I would have thought that New York City FC, I think, deserved tremendous credit, and we already spoke about that. You talked about that. I thought that block of four was great in midfield, and I think that combined with, you know, their ability to hold the ball, I think that's, you know, sputters a team that's a transition-oriented team, and through that possession, I think that was their best defensive weapon on the night, right? So the times they did lose the ball and it looked dangerous, I think they were pretty much organized as a team defensively. They looked in a great shape to deal with it. There were a few times that Portland, I think, you know, kind of got through and broke it down. There was one time, I'm trying to remember if it was the second half, but They really breached him in a big way. And I think it was Moreno. I think Moreno or Felipe Mora, excuse me, had a remarkable chance. But, you know, I do in this case, I'm really going to have to say you really have to give tremendous credit to New York City FC and what they did and how good they were with the ball after, you know, initially struggling with it a little bit in the early chaos of the game.
Mm-hmm. I thought you mentioned Moreno there, Santiago Moreno. I thought when he came on, he was a breath of fresh air. Just young legs, enthusiastic. He's always looking to go forward. I thought just that vibe, the feeling in the stands as well. I thought that could be someone who does something different and gets the Timbers back into it.
Well, Ross, thanks so much as always for coming on. I love these. You know what I like about interviews with you is it becomes conversational. It's not a one way. And I think it brings and leads to a lot of interesting interchange. So thanks, as always, for coming on. Let me let you get back to baby duty and recovering from all your travels.
You sure you don't want to talk longer? You're saving me from a few diapers right now, Glenn. Appreciate
you
having me on.
You got to get back to work. I got the email. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Glenn.
All right, that's Ross Smith, color analyst for the Portland Timbers, former professional soccer player.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.